over to the second of tonight's speakers, which is Sarah.
Thanks, Gary.
I'm Sarah, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Sarah.
This is terrifying. I'm an addict, and I've been coming to NA for 20 years, and I'm 11 years clean. You know, what's really important, the speaker was sharing before about the newcomer, I'm aware that, you know, I have all my nerves, I feel absolutely terrified, yet I'm sitting in this chair to pass on a message of hope and to share my experience and my strength and my hope. My heart is, I mustn't swear, that's the other thing I've got in my head, I'm not to swear, so this tape or whatever it is, CD, might be listened to by someone in the hotel room in their desperate need. You know, I'm an addict, and this disease which I have, and every single person in this room who's in here tonight is in here because they suspect or they know that they're an addict. The thing about this disease that I've learned is it's a mental illness, and there are many, 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 many times that my brain, the disease aspect, my brain has told me that I am not an addict because I'm looking for a way out. Just quickly, my background, I'm 50 next year. Which is incredible. I sit here today, I do not look 50. I don't look like, I don't remotely really look like someone who took drugs. I hope not, because my little boy is 9 and he doesn't see me like that. It's just about getting the understanding of what meetings are and abstinence and stuff. But I come from a family. A lot of what I've learned through being clean and through being here. But I do come from a family of addiction. My father's an alcoholic. My mum is the classic, trying to stop my dad drinking, and made me, as the youngest child, the one to try and stop my dad from drinking. I was fairly damaged alone by that thing, that the force of me as a person, obviously my mum locked into that because I'm very willful, and I remember being 5 and outside the pub trying to get my dad out of the pub. My sister is an alcoholic addict, you know, all through my cousins, blah blah blah. So at 11 years old I started drinking, smoking and skiving school. You know, my boy is 9. There's only 2 more years, and that is blows me. I mean, I feel emotional getting in touch with that, and I know that when I did that, you know, I hated my dad, I was so embarrassed I was angry, and at 11 years old, I skived school, got all the mixer bottles, and mixed it all up, and was on my own to get away. I wanted space. You know, my background at home, you know, my mum was violent. Oh, la 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 la. You know, it was what it was, and a lot of people have been through this. And I say that, and I say that with a smile on my face, because you know what, it's taken me years to heal and to not fall into the pity pot of associating myself with my damage. You know, it takes time and it takes love, and and to be honest, it takes being clean, to be in with a shout. So there I am, 11, blah, blah, blah. And I just go forward in life. You know, I'm in school, I'm a bright person. I was in the top SGN of the school, yet I was hanging out with the bikers, roaring up and down at the top of the field. I always had a hankering, you know, always, I don't know, that's it, isn't it? I just was attracted to damage. And I came to London when I was 21. I ran away, 20 actually, I ran away from university. I was doing a dance degree, and an alcoholic addict with a load of dancers didn't really work. And I hit West London and joined a punk theatre group. And you know, just moved through the madness. And at about 22, I was first. I first met some people in NA. I was managed by someone who was in NA, and I got my first eye opener of people who were clean. And to be honest, I thought it was sad. I thought it was really sad that people got that bad that they had to stop. even though my life was hectic, I mean, my boyfriend was getting arrested by the customs and excise with guns. You know, I was running around the streets of Ladbroke Grove. You know, it was mental. So by the time I was 29... when I was 27, I used and I drank to be completely unconscious. I'd come out of a violent relationship, and I had a court order, a life court order on this man. And I'm going to talk about that in my amends later. But I remember the conscious decision to be asleep. And so I came to my first meeting when I was 29 years old. And I came in and I came out and I came in and I came out, because you know what, I knew that my life was unmanageable, but I wanted my life to get manageable. I didn't really comprehend powerlessness, and I was not prepared to do the steps and be with people and listen. I'll give you an example. I'd be in bits. I'd be in a meeting and I'd, you know, chuck out what was going on for me, and then I'd leave. And I might, at different stages, get people calling me, do you want help? Do you need this? Do you need that? But I wouldn't take the help. I was so emotionally damaged and so angry and so chaotic. I hope some people understand that feeling. And, you know, I've always found people really difficult. And being out of control is a very, very scary place to be in. You know, to be let down or to be hurt or to seem silly and blah, blah, blah. And then I met a man who's the father of my child. And I'd been doing the 1-2-3, 1-2-3 dance of the steps. And then I met this man, and that was that, really. He became my everything, my higher power. And, you know, clearly, if you don't put this recovery stuff... you know, you have to do it the way you do it. My first sponsor I got because some other girl asked this sponsor to sponsor her, and I didn't like the girl, so I went up to the woman and said, will you be my sponsor? And she said yes to me and no to the other girl. And that's why I got her as my sponsor. And then she used to say to me, I was doing everything you can imagine. You know, I was stealing, I was, you know, anyway, I was doing lots of things. And she'd say, have you drank and used? And I'd go, no. But la, 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 and I'm this and I'm that and the other. Have you drank and have you used? No. Then you're doing really, really well. And in little increments, I started to get just the front line of respect, of self-respect, where I felt I hadn't abused anyone and no one had abused me. And, you know, when I came in at 29, I did think I was evil. I thought I was dark, and you know, I really deeply felt that. It seems so long ago, but it's still inside. Anyway, the relationship went a bit up, went a bit wrong, and I picked up. And, oh my God, I think at that stage I'd been coming in and out for about 3 years, and then I'd got a couple of years. And I hadn't worked the steps, and I picked up, and I picked up in real pain. And that was the start of a relapse from 99 until 2000, end of 2003. And in that relapse, the escalation, they say that the disease, the other gentleman was saying, it's not what you use. You know, you're alluding to the fact that we just have a disease of addiction. When you stop using, you're just left with that, you know, the mind talking rubbish, the insecurities and all the rest of it. But the disease is keeping on. It's two parallel runs. And if my experience of going out and using in consciousness of conscious abject pain was I had never stuck a needle in me. I picked up crack, I picked up heroin, I sat in a room, I used 24/7, and within 2 weeks I was in St Mary's. I could not breathe, and I said to the father of my kid, well, he wasn't the father of my kid then, we hadn't had a child, I said, you've got to shoot me up, because I need to put drugs in me, I need to get them in, I can't breathe. And he was bawling, you know, he was crying his eyes out, and that was me starting injecting speedballs, crack, heroin, and it was a mess. I'm alive. You know, and the fact that I've come back is testament to the fact that there is something beyond our understanding. You know, it's I went 7 rehabs. I didn't complete 7 rehabs in that period because I wanted to come back. But if you get the window of opportunity and you grab it, even no matter how low you are, how bad you are, you can get it. But the thing is, if you get that window of opportunity and you don't take it, you don't know when that window is coming back. And also, if you want to use, and you think, oh, I just want 5 minutes out, I just can't deal with this situation, the brain will say, oh, I can use, I can come back tomorrow. The thing is, you don't know that you're coming back. And you know, and that's heavy. That's really heavy. We live with a life-threatening disease. Yeah, so at 5 past, I'm going to really get into major hope. you know, how mad I was I had crack psychosis, and I became friends with the little men on the shelves, because if I got too freaked out in my psychosis, it was all visual, then I would see monsters, and then, you know, twice I ran for the window to jump out the window. But I had to, this is how powerful we are as people. I had to make friends with these things because I had to carry on using. I had to keep going. Anyway, I'd been in St Mary's. They'd done an operation. I had infection going up. And I'd been in Devon at my brother's. And I couldn't handle it any longer, and so I called the dealer to meet me at Paddington, and my brother's friend, this all higher power stuff, his best friend was a registrar at a hospital, and he gave me a lift, and he said, if your finger starts swelling anymore, you go straight into St Mary's. Anyway, dealer got nicked, so there was no dealer, and the hand was bad, and I went into St Mary's, and they operated, because I hadn't had anything to eat and blah, blah, blah. They operated within, I don't know, 2 hours, half an hour, so I can't remember. But anyway, if I'd left it any longer, the lady said they would have chopped my arm. Yeah, I would not have an arm. And if I'd scored, I'd be dead. Yeah, came out of St Mary's, walking down Westbourne Park Road with another friend who's dead, who died in August. And I was giggling. Oh, you could be walking down the road with me. I'd only have one arm. It's just mental. It's a mental illness. So, in 2003, I went to my parents in Suffolk, and it was June, and I got asked to meet these two people in Bury St Edmunds. There was a rehab there, and as I was going in the car, I wanted to turn, the first time I've ever wanted to turn the car, my parents' car, into the field, because I couldn't do it, I couldn't be clean, and I couldn't carry on using, and I got free treatment in Suffolk, and I went, I said, I'd come in for 2 weeks, and I stayed in that treatment centre, and I have not used since November 15th, 2003, and I got the simplicity of this. This is a simple programme, because I didn't want for anything anymore. I didn't want to be a musician. I didn't want to be someone's girlfriend. I just wanted clean sheets. The birds that were tweeting outside my parents got in the garden. I just wanted, I could just hear it. And it's amazing. It might sound something really small. These two parents that I'd judged, and I was happy just to be there. And I talked about things as I was getting clean that time, about the things that were going on, about the step ones around all areas. We all have it. All things that, you know, some of those things made me feel really ashamed. And I talked to a male counsellor about stuff that was going on for me, because there isn't anything wrong. Do you know what I mean? We can think everything. It's just that left to our own devices, we're down the chute. No matter how clean we get, we still have this illness. And I want to be really optimistic about that, because as I've gone along the years, I've realised that as long as I stay around this fellowship, as long as I have honesty, I'm going to be all right. I'm no different to the person who's one day clean. I'm not immune. I don't sort of arrive and clock up at a certain point and then I'm well. But I do have a sense of distance between the immediacy of wanting to go and use. So I'm at the Hope. The Hope. So I had a baby with the man that I'd used with a lot and I'd had all this with. And he didn't want my child, and I wanted my child, so I went through with it and I had my child. And it was really, really, really tough, because, you know, he was in NA, I'm in NA. All the fodder for gossip and whatnot. But I grew from it, because I realised I'm here to be well. And I gave birth to my son at 2 years clean. And he is... he's not the reason I'm clean, but he's been the reason that I carry on sometimes working to make sure that the illnesses, the dysfunction in me doesn't spread out. I got a sponsor when he was 6 weeks old, and I've been with her 9 years. And, you know, that's tough, because it's about sticking with it. It's about sticking with someone who at many, many times I want to run away, you know, even today. And I've worked step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, step six, step seven, step eight, step nine, step 10, and step 11, and step 12. I've worked all the steps. And I haven't... they've worked me. I've grown... I haven't run at them, and I'm going to do all these steps, and I'm going to do them brilliantly, and I've felt them. It's really tough doing this length of chair. You know, in the last 3 years of my recovery, 3 years ago my friend died. Adam was 14 years clean, and we'd worked together, and I unfortunately picked up, so he stopped working with me. Anyway, at 13, I think he was 13 years or 14 years clean, he picked up. And and during a series of relapses, he had shadows on his lungs, and he got lung cancer. And I went through the last 6 months of his life, and I stayed with it. I didn't run. I made peace, and I started to really experience grief on a much more profound level: powerlessness, grief, love, a deep sense of how precious life is, and how when you're close to someone and they're dying, you get the gift of what really life is. So that was a beginning gateway. And then 18 months ago, I left my relationship with someone I love, I really love. And it's said, who hasn't seen me for a while, said, "Oh, how's blah?" And I'm not with him anymore. And I left. I left because I knew that I wasn't happy, and I knew that he didn't love me, and I knew that I wasn't able to be intimate. I knew that I wasn't there, and or whatever, whether I was there or not, it wasn't right. And life. That's growing up stuff, isn't it? That's like, I was offered, you won't stick needles or do this or do that, destroy your family, destroy your life. I didn't realise that what was on offer was so much bigger. And then my nephew, my brother's son, has been in addiction for quite a few years, but his addiction... 27 now, just escalated, and he did the exact thing that I did. He picked up a needle, and I now, in the last 5-6 months, really profoundly understand what that felt like for the people in my family. I'm feeling it on a deeper level, and I'm making amends on a deeper level. I've used so much bleach. When my nephew came to stay with me, and I was getting him cleaned, so to speak, I felt it's insane. But I was just bleaching everything all the time. I was just like bleach, bleach, bleach. And it's, yeah, I was trying to clean the situation up. And I can't clean him up. I can only be who I am, which is a woman who's his aunt, who's been there, who's done it, and is a mum, and is a family member, and is, I'm a success, despite all the failings that I can tell myself on a daily basis. If you are clean today, you are a success. I really want to swear. because I feel passionately about it. You know, this is all, if this is all you do, You know, if this is all you do, if you carry on living and you just take another step forward, then you are a success. Getting to the end of that point, since August I've lost 5 friends. 2 of my friends that I used with, one over... Anyway, they're dead. They're dead. They're not here anymore. And 2 committed suicide. And another friend died of HIV. And when I went to the wake, Tom didn't go, or my son's son, my son's dad. And I went to that, and I didn't want to go. And in that environment, there were lots of people that are close to me and that I love and that are still using. And I realised it's just me and Tom that are still clean. And after I left this wake, the next day, for the first time in years and years and years, because I was around a lot of addicts using, people that I really, really seriously care about, not just small time, I really bloody care about, I smelt crack on the Portobello Road and I wanted to use. That is what this illness is. It's, you watch out, because, you know, it can come at you, but I had like maybe 10 minutes of serious craving, thinking I'm going to do it. My son wasn't with me, blah, 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 blah. But I called my sponsor and I didn't buy into it. I am well. If you crave, it's natural. But if you go and use, then you just open up the gate. And I'm grateful that even after all these years, like the other Cher said, I have not forgotten what it feels like to use and what my capacity is as an addict, a using addict. But the capacity that I have as a clean person is phenomenal. In my extended family, there are quite a few people clean now. My aunt's sober. I was the first. And there are more and more and more all around the world getting clean, more and more people getting the message. And that's powerful. So I've got a sponsor. I sponsor. I work the steps. What I did differently was I worked the steps. I want a disco dance around the room now. I'm having a bit of a, oh, I'm nearly at the end of this. And I just hope that if you are struggling and you feel alone or you're feeling like you want to use, just hold on, man. Just hold on, because you're not a freak. You're not alone. You don't have to be alone. You might just reach out and make a call, or don't stay alone for any length of time. And I've stopped smoking. I still got the patch on. I picked up after 8 years of stopping when I left my ex. That very night, I picked up. But I didn't pick up a drink and I didn't pick up drugs. And it's the end of that now. So when this thing comes off, I'm going to be so mad. I'm going to be full of energy, running around West London. Just, yeah, bring it on. I got my 11 years key ring. And one of the people that was at the wake, I haven't seen in a meeting for a long time. He walked into the meeting. It was a small meeting. And he's the reason why I got clean the day I got clean, because he came from London to Suffolk and I told him the truth. And he helped me those first couple of weeks. And that's higher power. You know, that's beautiful that I stood up and got my key ring with him in the room. I want to cry, man. Bye. easy does it. I think I'm just going to end on that. Just it's been a privilege to come here and share, and for me it's the last year I've been very isolated and withdrawn, and it takes balls to come here and share, and it takes balls, all of you being here tonight, and probably lots of you are going to be sitting up here doing the same thing at some point. It is really scary. But thanks for letting me share, and I hope that you have a clean night tonight. Thanks.